This is The Profit Factor, a podcast where we explore topics around edge, process, and mindset to help traders become consistently profitable.
All right, you guys, welcome, welcome. You can see I'm here by myself today. Had a little mix up with Tim. He couldn't make it, and we'll miss him. And hopefully we can get him back in here next time as well. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to answer your questions. So this will be just a good Q&A session. If you want, I can actually break down, you know, a couple trade setups that I do, you know, really kind of up to you guys of what works for you. But, you know, for those of you joining, those of you already know me, you know that, you know, my name's Taylor. I'm a coach. I'm also a trader and full-time and happy to kind of really kind of work with a really great group of traders. And some of them are on here right now. So those of you who work with me, just you can say hi, shout out to everybody else. You can ask them questions too. They're the bomb. They're awesome. So what do you guys want to talk about today? What's on your minds? Like what are some of the kind of challenges that you're kind of struggling with right now in your trading? What can we talk about? What questions? Mindset could be around edge, could be around, you know, anything that you want. So I'm just going to open that up for questions. Q&A time. Hit me with some Q&A. That's what I love. I actually like the Q&A because, you know, it's, I don't always know what's on top of mind for people. I don't always know like what people care about. So, you know, it's nice to hear, hey, you know, this is what I'm struggling with, or this is what we're struggling with. And actually what I find, cause I do a group coaching program, and what I get a lot of times is, hey, I'm really glad this person brought up that question, because in the end it worked out really great. Cause I had the same question. And you talking to them and coaching them or working with them allowed me to, you know, kind of solve my problem. So, all right. So we're here to answer questions. While we get going, I'm still waiting for comments to come in or any questions that you guys have. Let me just kind of talk about a setup that we did today, that part of my approach. I'll get to these questions here in just a second. So I said, isn't that funny? I'm like, let's have questions. Hang on. So we'll get more questions and we'll get those going. So I'm going to go over here and share my screen. Now, those of you who are in the Market Flow Trader community, so that's a, you know, that's a community where I coach, and it's a community where there's a lot of really great traders. We're all working together, and traders trade different things there. So some traders are trading, you know, momentum breakouts. Others are trading, you know, something akin to the Oliver Velez method, if you ever looked at that. We have an awesome coach in there, Revan, who also leads a live stream every day, which is fantastic. And so for those of you who are already familiar, you're familiar with Patrick's approach and Revan's approach. And I'll talk a little bit about my approach, which is totally different, totally different. And I was thinking about it today. I was like, well, okay, what's the real difference between Revan and myself? Like, how do we, you know, how do we approach the market? How do I approach the market differently from maybe Patrick? And I was thinking about it, like the difference between a cruise ship and a speedboat. Like, that's the difference for me. I'm on a cruise ship. I'm like, we're just cruising along. It's not so bumpy. It's a little bit slower pace, and it's a little bit more calm for me. This is kind of my experience with how I trade. And when you're trading something that has a shorter time frame, and Revan trades a very short time frame, Patrick trades a very really short time frame. What you could probably call it scalping, but it's a little bit of scalping, a little bit of kind of just a little bit bigger than scalping. That's like being on the speedboat, and it's going to go fast and it's exhilarating. People have said, "Hey Taylor, why don't you do a live stream of your trading?" And I'm like, that's going to be so boring. I'm such a boring trader. I'm sitting here waiting most of the day or part of the day for things to really happen. And when they do, it's awesome. But I'm usually only taking a couple of trades per instrument per session and just holding those till we get to target. So I'll give you an example of what that looks like. We had a good trade today in Q. So I trade something called time and price. Now, one of the things that I ran into as a trader is I got really good where I knew I had a good feeling about where the direction was going to go. I really thought like, okay, yeah, I think I know where the direction is. I've got a good read on context. So the contextual narrative going into a market environment. And then I had these kind of approaches, my process for how to enter. And inevitably, I knew kind of where to enter and I knew the context. So I knew directionality where we were headed, but I was always off on time. Like the timing was always off. It always just seemed like either I was a little bit too early or I was a little bit too late for the move. And one of the things I love about this approach that I trade now is it incorporates time elements into it. So every day, every session, every instrument, it has a profile for when it's going to do certain things. It has a profile for when it's going to pull back. It has a profile for when it's going to hit target. And so I incorporate this time element into my trading, and it's made all the difference in the world because now I have directionality and I have levels of where I'm going to enter that have the highest probability, and I have time. And so it's been really, really awesome. And so, yeah, I've got some, Robert's right. Boring is profitable. boring is sometimes profitable. Hopefully it's profitable all the time. All right. So let me pop in here and show you guys a setup from today. We can talk about this or we can talk about other things too. Let me go and see. I got to see which window. I think it's this window right here. All right. Boom. All right. There we are. Okay. So let's hide a few things that aren't relevant. Let's do that right there. Let's do boom. Okay. So, you know, the first thing is when we look at context, and we'll come back here and go into replay. This will be good. Boom. Right to here. Okay. When we're looking at context, this was kind of the context for, this is the Asian session. This is the overnight session. You can see we kind of came down here. And then we had this awesome spike move that came all the way up here. So this was the PCE. If you guys were watching PCE this morning, I know Revan did a great job in his room leading people through and navigating through this, which is really great. I don't trade this kind of stuff. I used to be a news trader, not so much anymore. So I really like being on the cruise ship. The cruise ship is fun for me. So when we got into NQ and we kind of formed this range, then what I'm looking for is first a break of the range. And once I have a break of the range, then I have data that's proprietary, that's available to me, that tells me, hey, based on the profile of this particular day for NQ, this is where things should happen. This is when things should happen. Okay. So if we turn on just that data, we can see the data come on. So I know this is probably a lot of lines, but these bands, these are my time bands. So I expect pullbacks to happen either here or here. And then I expect my levels to be either this level right here, which we kind of already come through, or this level right here. Okay. So those are where I expect things to go back. And what I really want to see is I want to see the convergence of those things. So I want to see when, you know, when price moves to one of these levels inside one of the time level, one of the time bands that I have. And when that happens, then there's beautiful magic that occurs. And these are my areas that I would take profit out of. So this is my first area that I would take profit out of. This is kind of like if I really just kind of run through here, then there's a possibility of pushing down into here. But usually I'm taking out a good chunk right here on this first level. And sometimes depending on the shape of the day, I might hold for a little bit longer. So what do I do here now that I have all this up before? I don't have to make any other decision. So there's no other mind drama or anything like that. Like I don't have to decide, do I have a signal? Don't I have a signal? Like that's one of the other great things about how I do this is that it's extremely clear. Like I don't have to really have any of the mind drama about whether or not I'm seeing an actual signal take place. I am. I have my data. My data tells me what to do. And so I'm not going to trade here because we've already come through it as we did this. So my level to enter at is right here. So that's 18.011. I front run it a little bit. So let me put my short position on here. So 18.010. And I'm going to put my stop loss, you know, right about there. So 16 points for some of you trading really short time, that might be quite a bit. Okay. But we use our value to make sure that we're position sized correctly. And so my target though is all the way down here. Okay. So that's about a 4.5 R trade, 4.6 R. If I were going for down here, that's a 7.5 R trade. So about 4 R trade. That happens right there. Okay. So that's what we're looking at. So what happens is we get this move. We have a retracement. Again, it's happening within the band. Now, what's nice is that, what I did today is I could actually move this down a little bit further. I was a little bit tighter on my stop loss because we actually came right up through here. This is kind of an advanced, my guys following me, you're not allowed to do this yet. This isn't what you're allowed to do. So this is what I do sometimes because this entry is happening on the very last candle of this. And it actually happened later when the candle was building toward the later end of it. So, you know, had like a nice 7R profile to this trade right here. For some, this is a little bit scary because you're actually selling as price is moving up into you, but I'm very confident in my data. And so what do? We actually reverse right here, exactly at the level and exactly within the time. Boom, boom, boom. And there we have our take profit. We're out there. We go further and then we start reversing back up. Okay, so this level ended up holding. We almost got down to this level down here, but I was already out right here on this trade. So that's it. That's how I look at the market. That's how I trade every day. I do this with NQ. I do it with CL. I do it with ES. Those are the main contracts I trade. And it's really great. It's when you're, you know, one of the reasons for showing you this is because depending on where you're at in your trading, you might be fit with a system that may not be working for you. I found this to work really well for me. And I really went through a number of different systems in my career that, you know, at times some things fit better for me than other times. I really enjoyed like news trading. That was really awesome for me. That was a lot of fun. And it was also highly profitable, which just made it more fun, right? Scalping is not so much my thing. I don't like scalping. I don't like, you know, taking 1 or 2 or 3 R off on a trade really quickly. I prefer, you know, something where I can kind of sit, you know, maybe have a little bit bigger targets and those kinds of things. So, you know, that's me. But I also don't like to hold overnight. So like swing trading is not the thing for me either. When you're deciding about your system and your approach and how you trade. And if you're struggling with one particular approach, you know, think through, is this because I'm simply not getting it? Is simply I haven't done the work around this particular edge? Or is this maybe not the right fit for me and for kind of what I do? So that might be a challenge. It may not, you know, anybody can learn anything. You know, I'm not saying that there's a particular system that's right for you, but some systems might be a little bit easier to work with. And Robert's right. Like this, Robert's been learning the system. He's been trading it. And I wanted to teach some of the guys that I work with, because when you're talking about and dealing with mindset challenges, some of the mindset challenges are related to edge and the kind of edge that you have. So when you have a highly discretionary system or a system that's much more discretionary, then there's a lot more mind drama that comes into that. And so therefore there's a lot more mind work and mindset work. So if I could take a group of traders, which is what I've done, it's what I've done in my program, and run them through, hey, here's a very mechanical system. that you can trade, you can learn, the rules are easy. And let's now focus not on all the decision-making around the system, but let's focus on things like process and discipline. Let's see if you can do, I do this thing called the five trades challenge. So let's see if you can actually do five trades in a row that perfectly done. And if you can do that, then you can trade anything. And I think that's just one of the keys. When do you know when to hang it up for the day? That's an easy question to answer. When you need to have a plan. And I'm not talking about just a general plan. You need to have a trade plan. You need to have a playbook. And in your playbook, one of the things that you define is you define when you walk away for the day. That should be a process rule for yourself. And that could be a certain amount lost. It could be a certain number of trades that you've lost in a row. One of the things that I did with a group of traders is I gamified it a little bit. We kind of turned this into a game. We said, look, you get five shots, right? You get five shots. When you lose three out of those five, you're done for the day. But you can keep taking shots and you get up to five in a day. But if you have three losses, you're done. That's it. It doesn't matter how much the losses are, you know, anything like that. And that, you know, a lot of traders adopted that as a rule, because it really put the limits on, but it also allowed them to open up and be able to kind of go for it. If they're on a roll, they're doing great, they're making good decisions, there's no reason to stop. You just, you know, you do your five and then you're done. So that was more of a gamification approach to make it a little bit different. Some of the more standard approaches are you obviously have a daily loss limit. Now, what if you're struggling to follow that daily loss limit? Well, you can actually, in most platforms, set that as a parameter, as a requirement, or like as a little variable in your platform to say, you shut me off if I've lost more than X amount of dollars in the day. So that might be a good first step if you're struggling to have the discipline to walk away. And the bigger step, though, and actually had a really great coaching call with one of the guys I work with, around the mindset of walking away. He really struggled to walk away. He couldn't do it. And he just needed to be there the whole time. And he kept giving away, you know, he'd be up, you know, $3,000 and then he'd give away 70% of that. And he would just do that over and over and over again. And we talked about the why behind it. Because any action we take, it's because there's something else that's happening in our minds or something, maybe a belief that we have. And we uncovered for him that he had a belief that in order to, that if you walked away, that you were quitting. And he didn't want to be a quitter. So that was kind of a core belief that he had. And as we unraveled that and unpacked that, and he realized that, okay, wait a second, maybe that isn't quitting. Maybe quitting is something entirely different. Maybe the fact that I'm staying in and I'm violating my process rules means I'm quitting on my process. And it completely flipped things for him. So there's several levels here. One level is, you know, you have external controls on your behavior. So that would be setting up kind of like parameters in your platform. Level number two is you set rules for yourself and then you work to build the discipline to attain those rules. Level number three, and this is where we really need to get to as traders, is we need to go for the root cause of why we're doing something. And usually it's some sort of underlying belief. So I'm for reals. I would say, you know, if you're struggling to walk away for the day, first, make sure you define when you're going to walk away. If you don't have a definition for that, then you need one. But if you're struggling to do it, then start with an external control, then work on maybe a rule for yourself, but also do the inner work, the kind of the mindset work to understand why you're actually doing that. Why are you staying, right? And why do you keep losing, you know, why you stay? So there's some sort of mindset thing that's going on there as well. So that's a good question. I love it. All right, Hank. Hank says, I keep writing down to let my winners go until planned. I follow the plan when I lose, but when a trade is green, I move stop too close and get stopped versus the plan. Yeah. Why are you moving your stop, Hank? That's the question. You know, we like to think that trading takes willpower. Like, oh, I just need the willpower. I just need the discipline to do it. Yeah. But there's, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on with us as humans. So let's try to understand some of that. So I would ask, why would you move your stop? What were you thinking when you took your stop and you moved it? What were you thinking? And you were probably thinking, I don't want to lose this much money. I'm just guessing, speculating. I don't want to lose this much money. So if I move my stop, then I'm guaranteed to be break even, or it's only a little bit of money and I can handle that. So then the question is why? Why are you thinking that? Why are you choosing to think that particular thought? And how is that actually serving you? Do I help traders that don't trade my strategy? Thank you, Robert. Yes. Yeah, because here's the thing. So when you are trading, there is a way to become consistently profitable. And, you know, traders that have kind of made it, you know, we've kind of been through this whole multi-year process in a lot of cases. And what I've tried to do is boil it down to a very simple process and a very simple approach. And I start with edge. So edge is the set of rules that you trade that have a probability of profit associated with them. So, you know, if you have a set of, you know, system rules, so to speak, and you can validate and verify that those system rules over time are going to produce a profit, then you have an edge. And that's awesome. That's checkbox number one. Most traders trading do not have an edge, or they don't know for sure whether or not they have an edge. So even the most profitable traders may or may not know that they actually have an edge, because maybe they haven't done that validation work. Maybe they're hitting a really good win streak, and there's going to be market conditions that change, and all of a sudden that win streak just goes away because their edge really doesn't play out for the long term. So the first thing that I do with any of my clients and the people that I work with is we walk through, what is edge? How do you define edge? How do you find whether or not your system has edge? How do you validate that? And how do you make it better? So we do a whole program around edge. And then the next thing is process. Process includes anything that we do to actually execute that edge. And process could include, you know, how we wake up in the morning, what kind of exercise we do. But a lot of times it also includes the things like what's our strategy for walking away? What's our process for walking away at the end of the day when we have losses? What's our process for managing risk? What's our process for executing trades? Are we going to enter limit order? What's our processes for how do we trade multiple accounts at the same time? That's a big one right now, because all the virtual prop firms that allow you to do that. So process is about building skills as a trader to better execute that edge that you have. And then the last thing that we focus on is mindset. Because what I found is, you know, you may think you have a mindset problem, but until you actually solve the edge problem first, and then the mindset, and then the process challenges, you don't really know. You know, the best system in the world, you know, you could have the best system in the world, right? And if you have a poor mindset, you're not going to be able to trade it. But you could also not have a really great system, but think that you do, and then think that you have a mindset challenge. And so we really need to go through that edge piece first, and then we deal with mindset. And what I do with mindset is a little bit different. You've read all the books. I mean, most traders are very familiar with trading psychology and trading mindset work, right? So you've read a lot of the books, you've read, you know, blog posts, you've seen videos. People talk all the time in this industry about trading psychology. You probably know what you should be thinking and what you should be feeling. That's not what I do. I already know that you have that information. I take it a step further, because I'm going to give you the tools and the skills to know how do you go from where you are today and what you believe and what you think and what you feel to where you want to be, or where these pundits tell us we need to be thinking and feeling as professional traders. There's a gap there. And that gap is bridged by learning these skills that I teach around mindset. So I actually teach practical application mindset skills. And that's what I do. So regardless of the system you trade, I work with people who trade options. I work with people who trade, you know, scalping oriented futures. I'm now coaching a bunch of guys, not just in my approach, but also the holistic approach here, edge process and mindset as well. So it doesn't matter what you trade. It doesn't matter, you know, really any of that, because we're all struggling with much of the same kind of challenges. And that it starts with edge and then it ends with mindset. So that's a great question. I appreciate it. You guys are the best. All right. How do you work through the mindset of you had to work hard for money? Oh, Vincent, I love this one. Yeah, I don't know that that one was a problem for me per se. And it's interesting because, let me just kind of go back into this question. So some of us have a belief that in order to make money, you have to work hard. And it's a belief that feels good to a lot of people, right? You grew up, your dad probably told you, your mom probably, you got to work hard for what you have, right? And so trading therefore becomes very hard. Because we have this belief, if I want to make money in trading, it's going to be really hard. And it doesn't have to be that way. Trading could actually be easy. And so it's a belief that we hold that often we don't even think about. And it's a very common belief, especially here, you know, in America, where we kind of value hard work, you know, that hard work, ethical, behavior, right? I want to say, is it true? Or I want to ask you, is that really true? Is it really true that you have to work hard to make money? And if you think about it, there's a lot of people in the world who make lots of money and they don't work very hard. So why does that have to be true for you? So the first thing to do is to really just ask yourself that question and break down. You know, that question, or that statement has a lot of power for you. And Vincent, you know, I know Vincent pretty well. So I know where he's coming from with this. That statement has power. And so anytime we have a belief statement like this that has a lot of power, the first thing we need to do is to kind of, you're almost like, let me take a little chip in the foundation of that belief. And the chip is, and is it true? And if you really kind of step back and think about it, like, okay, what are all the examples where this is not true, where this statement is not true? And you could probably start coming up with all kinds of people, you know, well, this person just sits around. They collect checks all day, right? Then there's this person. Then there's, you know, I live in Texas. Do you know how many landowners in Texas just get massive multi-million checks every year from mineral rights? Oil on their land. They don't do anything. They inherited their land from their dad or their mom and their parents, and they make gobs of money. I mean, it's insane. So there's lots of evidence where you don't have to work hard for money. And so the next question is, why does that have to be true for you? Why does that have to be true for you? So I don't know if that's helpful, Vincent, but you know, that's kind of the first step, is you have to start to weaken a belief, especially a strongly held belief where you've got a lot of evidence for it, or you have a lot of history with it, or it's been around for a long time in your head. You have to start weakening that belief a bit, and you weaken it by asking yourself these very introspective questions, sometimes very uncomfortable questions that create some discomfort for you, right? It's kind of uncomfortable to think, Well, I've been believing this my whole life. My dad thinks this, my mom thinks this, right? I've been taught this, and I want to be a good person contributing to society, but maybe this isn't true. And sometimes that can be a little bit scary, you know, dealing with emotions like that or with beliefs like that. So that's an awesome question. Thanks for asking that one. That's good. Let me know if you have a follow-up on that. Awesome. What else you guys got? These are good questions coming through. No, there's no TPF merch in the works yet. Maybe I'll assign that to you, Robert. That's your next assignment. Robert, go make us some TPF merch, man. I think we can have like little magnets, like, you know, that go on the back of cars. Can make a big one for your truck. That'd be awesome. Throw that one on the back. I'm sure people would love that one. How do you know when to stop? That's from Reddit. Okay, here's one. It's interesting. I'm gonna shift the topic just a little bit here. All right. I should ask you guys, what makes a good trader and what makes a bad trader? What makes a good trader? What makes a bad trader? The immediate kind of initial reaction answer is, well, a good trader is someone who makes money and a bad trader is someone who loses money. And you might think that about yourself. You might think I'm not a good trader. I just consistently lose. And what I'd like you to do is shift your perspective just a little bit. What makes a good trader is a trader who follows their process. That's it. You can be the best trader in the world because you follow your process 100%. And you could still lose. And you could still have losing days. And you could still have losing weeks. And you have drawdown periods. But if you actually have edge, and if you're following that process 100%, 90%, even 80% usually, you are a good trader. That's what makes a good trader. A bad trader is someone who consistently violates their process over and over again. That's the difference. That's the difference between a good trader and a bad trader. It has nothing to do with the outcomes. The outcomes will come for both of those scenarios. So if you are consistently violating your rules, I promise you at some point you're going to get hit. The profit is going to stop if it is even there in the first place. And if you are consistently following your process and your rules, I promise you, as long as you have an edge, it's going to work out long term. So that's the difference between a good trader and a bad trader. It has nothing to do with money and has nothing to do with profit. The more you can stop thinking, and Rev mentioned this in his stream today, and I agree 100%, the more you can stop thinking about profits and start thinking about process, the better you will become, 100%. How do you know if you have a good system or bad system? And then Robert asks, what is profit factor? Thanks for the softball questions, guys. You're amazing. All right, so good system is, there's two ways to measure the effectiveness of a system. So when you look at a whole system, and way number one is called profit factor. And it is a risk-adjusted calculation that takes into account your win percent, your losing percent, your average winner, and your average loser. So the formula basically lets you know if that system overall has a probability of profit. And anything over 1.0 of a profit factor is good. So you guys can Google search and find, you know, the definition of profit factor that's out there. So profit factor is a really important way that we measure how effective a system is. If you don't know the profit factor associated with your system, then you're doing yourself a disservice, because you actually are losing out on an opportunity to A, create confidence in your system and your edge, which helps you around the mindset work. And B, potentially setting yourself up for future failure because you haven't validated that your edge has a statistical probability of profit. So profit factor is supremely important. There's a second way to measure it, and that's using what's called R value. And R value just basically looks at what is your return for every unit of risk that you put on to a trade. And so you can use either one. They're used in different scenarios and different cases. So if you just have a certain, you know, kind of a static amount of volume that you trade every, you know, for every contract, so you're only trading one contract and your stop loss will vary, right? But you're only trading one contract, then you want to measure based on profit factor. Or if you have a set, stop loss too. If you vary your amount that you trade, your volume, and because your stop loss could be really wide for one trade and really narrow for another trade, then you want to use R for that. And so there's different scenarios and cases. We cover all of this in the consistency accelerator. This is part of the deep dive work that we do to do the validation and then do the learning around the metrics and the statistics. I think one of the biggest eye openers for the people I work with is that it's for the first time they're able to understand the data, the statistics around trading numbers that help them to have an edge, to create an edge, to optimize it, and to know that they've got one. So I think that was a big open eyes for a lot of people. How do you get your children interested in trading? Ooh, that's a good question on so many levels, huh? How do you get your children interested? Why do you want to get your children interested in trading? This is the hardest thing I've ever done, Jim. I don't know that I want my kids following in my footsteps. That's really kind of funny. That's my first reaction. Like, no, go be a doctor. It's way easier. I don't know if anybody else has felt that, but it's like, yeah, go do something else. It's a little bit less strenuous. I do have a son. Like I've got four kids, and I've got one that was interested. He kind of dabbled around a little bit. And then another one that I think is much more interested. And I think that, you know, I don't know. I don't feel like you can push kids to do anything. I think we can be the best influence we can. I don't have a good answer for you, Jim. I don't know. You tell me. Why don't you figure that one out and then tell me and let me know. Let me know what works. We have a very, I think one of the things that we've done that I've done as a dad, one thing I've tried to do as a dad is really just be encouraging to whatever my kids want to do. I never wanted to be that dad where I was kind of like really pushing my kids to do what I wanted them to do. It's very much, hey, what are you interested in? I think with anything, if you're trying to persuade anyone to do anything at all, I think questions can be very powerful. And so asking a question like, hey, what do you think of the markets? And what do you think of what I'm doing with the markets? Or one of the things I did with my kids is we did a trading challenge. So I think CBS Market Watch had something like this where you could set up a fake portfolio and you can have a group join. And so we had this, a group of my kids, some of my kids and some others as well. We did this trading challenge and that was kind of fun for them. You know, they kind of had like a fake $100,000 and then they would balance their portfolio. It's more like investing than it is trading. So that was kind of fun for them. So kind of giving them the experience and seeing what they, you know, see and if they like it. But that's all I got for you, man. Other than that, I don't know. I think this is coming from a place of, I still have kids that are, my youngest is actually just turned 20. And so they're just coming out of the teenage years. And so I have kids that for the last several years, they don't listen to me like at all. So like the hope that I can influence them or persuade them to do anything at all is really kind of far from my head, but that's probably a thought that I need to work on. So I love it. These are good questions. I appreciate it. All right. I think this is good for today. Sorry that Tim couldn't make it. That was my fault. I flubbed giving him the right time and place and all the other details. I thought he knew. He thought I was going to send him something. So we had a little bit of miscommunication. That was totally on me. So it's my responsibility to make sure he knows. And we're going to get him on. The reason I want to get Tim back is because it's such a good story to talk to Tim about his experience and where I think he just started probably 6 or 7 months ago. And he's just taking out his first payouts and just the fastest, shortest A to B you know, going from not knowing anything about the markets to being able to take payouts is insane. And he's done it through, you know, really just focusing in on some very specific things. And so that's what I want to talk to him about next time. And so that's what we're going to do next time. We'll have Tim on, and we're also going to invite some other guests, some other people, other traders that are part of the Market Flow Trader community, some people that are outside of the Market Flow Trader community. So, you know, we're going to have a mixture of people. But thanks for coming. Thanks for asking great questions. Really glad you guys were here. And I'm open anytime. You can reach me at taylor@gettheprofitfactor.com. If you have questions, if you just want to talk through some stuff, I'm there for you. All right, guys. Go have a great trading day tomorrow and have an awesome weekend.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Check out my YouTube channel at The Profit Factor on YouTube. But if you really want to amp up your trading game, take a look at my Consistency Accelerator program. This is a program that was designed to systematically help you become consistently profitable. It includes coaching and course material around edge, process, and even mindset. Check it out at www.gettheprofitfactor.com.